Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I want to invite you, if you will, to open in your New Testament to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 is where we'll take our study from this morning. I want to begin with a quote from one of my favorite theologians. His name is Mark Twain. He said, in his typical way about the Bible, he said, it ain't those parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It is those parts that I do understand. And I think I know what Mark Twain meant by that, because any honest student of the Bible will have to admit that when you read what is said in the Scriptures, it's challenging. The demands of God affect every aspect of our lives. And the truth is, they often go beyond our comfort level. If we're to follow what Jesus said, for example, it's going to take us beyond what we're comfortable with. And nowhere is that more clearly seen than in what Jesus said about our relationships with one another. You know, how do we relate with other people? How do we respond when someone does something that is upsetting to us, for example? Or how do we respond when we're outright wronged by somebody? Do we follow the example that's set by the world? You know, that's an easy thing to do. Or do we follow the teaching of Jesus? That's going to be a little harder. And it seems that the world's response to every situation is, look, we're just going to respond in kind, or we're going to retaliate in some way. And I doubt I have to tell you that what the Lord requires of His followers often runs contrary to the way that this world operates, really on just about everything, but certainly in regard to what we're talking about this morning. And Jesus doesn't want His disciples to live their lives by the standard that is set by the world in which we live, where we just kind of sink down to where everyone else is. And that's true, again, not only in regard to this and everything else, but certainly in regard to this, how we deal with other people. The world lives by a very simple philosophy, and that philosophy seems to be, you know, only the strong survive. So you do whatever you have to do along those lines. It's a kind of a survival of the fittest mentality, and if you want to get along with this world, you're going to do whatever it takes to survive, regardless of how you have to treat other people in order to do that. And it is the mentality that says if you get hit, you just need to hit back harder. And if you get stepped on, you may have to just step on other people. And that's how many people have adopted, or that's the standard that many people have adopted. It's the guiding principle of their lives. And so if someone wrongs them in some way, they handle that by retaliating, by doing something that's even worse in response. Once heard a story that began well and kind of went the wrong way somewhere along the way. It was a preacher who was in the airport in Dallas. He was in the DFW airport. And this is in the days where you had to, you know, actually go up and get your ticket at the ticket counter. So he was getting his boarding pass, and the man who was in front of him was absolutely verbally abusing the girl behind the counter. He was being vulgar. He was being rude. He was upset. He was taking it out on her. And she took everything he gave with a smile on her face. And this preacher was impressed by this young lady's response. And in the back of his mind, he kind of even wondered, you know, maybe she's a member of the church. And so finally the man left, and it was the preacher's turn at the counter. And as he was getting his boarding pass, he commended the young lady for the way she handled that situation. And he asked her, you know, how is it that you can take that kind of abuse with the good attitude and with the smile on her face? And with a smile, she looked at him and said, oh, it's easy. He's going to New York City, but his bags are going to Mexico City. I love poetic justice as much as the next person. But let's go ahead and go on record. That's not what Jesus has in mind. But that's how many people operate, isn't it? Retaliate when someone does you wrong. And that mentality is expressed in some of the popular expressions that, you know, we hear used from time to time. You need to look out for number one. You need to do unto others before they do unto you. Don't get mad. Get even. You know, we hear people, I've got my rights. You know, we're not going to let anybody get in the way of that. And so when people are wronged by someone, they often adopt the philosophy that says, you know what, two wrongs do make a right. And we're tempted sometimes to believe that statement is true. At least if we're the one doing the second wrong, we believe that statement is true. But I want to point out this morning that Jesus said that this kind of thinking really is a lie. He knew that there would be a lot of ugliness in the world. There was when he lived upon the earth. He was hung upon a cross eventually. But that didn't change what his teaching was. He doesn't want his disciples to retaliate. He wants us to love. And the world may say only the strong survive. But what Jesus reveals to us is really that it takes a strong person to love when you're dealing with people who may not be acting lovingly. Who may not be lovable. And so here in Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to begin in verse 38, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect," Jesus says. And so when you look at the words of Jesus here, he basically says everyone is capable of love on some level. And just about anyone can love people who are lovable. Anyone can love people who are beautiful and delightful. Even the basest of sinners is capable of love in some sense of that word. But the Lord is not impressed with a lot of what goes on in our world today that would come under the category of love. It's not the kind of thing He's looking for in His people. Again, it's easy to love people who are charming and people who are attractive, but the Lord is looking for people who are going to go beyond that kind of love. The Lord is looking for people who are willing to love others like He does. You know, one thing you can say about this kind of love is that it is a controlled kind of love. You know, it takes a lot of strength not to make retaliation your standard response to what other people do, what they do. And that, I think, is maybe our natural response. It's the thing that we're just left to our own devices. It's the direction our lives would take. But if we simply respond in accordance with what other people are doing, then let me just tell you that other people are going to dictate how we live. They're the ones who are going to be in control. Our actions will always depend upon the actions of other people. But if we choose to treat people better than they deserve, if we choose to love them even when they have been ugly, then it shows that we are in control. And maybe a better way to say that is that the Lord and His Word are in control. What He says and what He demands is what's controlling our lives. You know, it's a very God-like kind of love that Jesus is talking about here. I want you to think about this for a moment. What condition would we be in if the love of God was based upon what we deserve? What if God had said, you know what, I'll love them as long as they love me back. I'll love them as long as they respond first to you. And the answer to that question, of course, is that we would be hopelessly lost. Thankfully, that's not how God operates. Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. He would say there in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 that God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And since therefore we have been now justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, how much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by His life? We were enemies. We were still sinners, Paul says there. And God loved us, he said, even when we were still rebels. He loved us when we were not really worth loving. And He didn't say to us, He didn't say, you know what, I tell you, I will meet you halfway. What God did is He went out of His way to demonstrate His love for us. And what I believe the Lord wants us to do is to, or what He wants us to see in the way that He loves us is the way that we're supposed to love other people. He's decided whom we are to love. He's decided how we are to love them. But we sometimes have trouble doing that, don't we? And that may be one of those times when we're making an understatement. We sometimes have trouble, a lot of trouble, doing that. And the unfortunate thing is that there are times when maybe it doesn't even bother us like it should. You know, sometimes we may be bothered by 1,000 different things. Some of them are important, others of them are not quite as important. But there are also times when we fail to be bothered by the things that are at the very center of what it means to be a Christian. And it's interesting how we can just kind of set those aside and pretend like they're not really a part of the equation. But we are to be people who love not only the lovely, but also the unlovely. We're supposed to even love our enemies, Jesus said in this passage. And yet the reality of it is that sometimes we're guilty of practicing this tax collector kind of love that Jesus talks about here, where if you have people who are nice or people who are lovable, well, yes, obviously we can deal with that. And it's okay. And we can show that we are loving people. We can do it by loving the lovable. Not, again, what Jesus had in mind. We need to recognize that if our love is not for our enemies, that if our love doesn't include those, who are, you know, not charming and unattractive, if it's not God-like, then it really doesn't impress Him much. And so the question that we need to ask ourselves is, how can we love like the Lord wants us to love? How is that something that we can put into practice? And I want to suggest a couple of things along those lines that I hope will be helpful to us as we try to go out into this world, in a world in which sometimes there are things that are not pleasant that we come across, and we have to deal with people who are not living in keeping with the Lord's will, and sometimes who even wrong us in some ways. How do we do that? And the first thing that I want you to see is that people who love the way they're supposed to, they don't get defensive about their rights, number one. You ever notice that it's tempting to be concerned about how far our love has to go? We want to know how much stuff we have to put up with and for how long we have to put up with it. Isn't that kind of where we tend to dwell upon things? We want to know how much is too much. Where is that line that when it's crossed, we can just call it all off and just retaliate like the rest of the people in our world do? Peter wanted to know that. We're not alone. Peter would say in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? And I think Peter thought he was being way more generous than actually he needed to be. You know, we've got to put on a good show before the Lord. So Lord, I'm willing to do it up to 7 times. Jesus said that doesn't get close. Reminds me of a story I once heard. It was about an Irishman who was a world-class boxer. I don't really know much about his religious background, other than that somewhere along the way he became a religious person and even became a preacher in some sense of that expression. And one day he was preaching in an Irish slum and some thugs began to give him a hard time. And one of them had a slingshot and he took it and put a rock in it and shot it at him and hit him. And so he remembered the words of Jesus and he said, I'm just going to turn the other cheek. And what the thug did then is he took another rock and shot and hit him. And at that point, he took off his coat, and he rolled up his sleeves, and he smiled, and he said, the Lord has given me no further instructions. And he wore them out. You see, what we always seem to think about is the least, or the most that we have to put up with. You know, how much do we have to put up? You know, where's the bottom end of that so that I can get on to dealing with these people like I want to deal with them? And what that tells us, what Jesus taught us, is that we really shouldn't be thinking in those kinds of terms at all. You know, what is the most that I have to endure? We ought to be thinking about going the second mile. Isn't that what Jesus said? Where would we be if the Lord had said, you know what, I'll go this far. I'll deal with you people, and this is the line, and when you go past that line, when you reach past that number of sins, I'm cutting it off. I'll forgive you up to here, but beyond that, you're on your own. I don't know about you, but I'm confident that I would have passed that number a long time ago. And so we need to be thankful that the Lord doesn't place a limit on His forgiveness like that. But we also need to recognize what His grace and mercy means with regard to our own willingness to forgive. Our focus shouldn't be on defending our rights. It ought to be on mending our relationships. And what that will mean for us is precisely the same thing that it meant for Jesus. It's going to require sacrifice on our part. For one thing, sacrifice means that we have to be willing to give up our right to dignity. Isn't that what Jesus was talking about there when he says in verse 39, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also? If you wanted to insult somebody in the first century, in first century Palestine, the way to do that was to slap him across the face. That was a great insult in that society. I'll just go ahead and tell you, it does a pretty good job in our society too. If you want to insult somebody, that'll do it. And to endure that kind of treatment was to be basically robbed of your dignity. And so we don't really do that kind of thing in our society, not much. But we have other ways of robbing people of their dignity. We insult people in our society, or we use sarcasm, or maybe gossip or something like that. What do you do when somebody attacks your dignity in such a manner? What do you do when they're talking about you, or they're saying things about you that are hurtful to you? Jesus said you don't retaliate. Sacrifice means that you have to be willing to give up your right to property even. He says in verse 40 of our text, if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And then in verse 42, give to the one who begs from you and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. That's not easy, is it? That's what Jesus said. Sacrifice means you have to be willing to give up even your right to liberty. Look at verse 41. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. You know, we like to have time to ourselves, don't we? We like to have the freedom to do what we want to do. And there are times when we feel kind of put out when people want to take that away from us in one way or another, don't we? Do people ever interrupt your life? Do they ever call you when you just really don't want to be called? Do they ever interrupt your plans, get in the middle of things that, you know, call at a time or need something at a time that's just not convenient for you? What Jesus says is that we shouldn't be the people who are only willing to do, you know, what really everybody else in this world would do. We need to go beyond that. Does that describe us? There's something else I want you to see about the people who love the way they're supposed to love. Their willingness to love is not dependent on the response they get. And what I mean by that is that the person who loves as the Lord commanded here doesn't just love people who respond in kind or have a favorable response to the way we treat them. They love regardless of the response they get from the other person. That's really where it gets difficult, isn't it? You see, one of the problems with love, as most people think of it, is that it's always contaminated to some degree by the impurities of self-interest. Most people practice the kind of love that responds in kind, or at least expects the other person to respond in kind. And when the other person, you know, if you know, we do something for somebody or, you know, whatever it might be, we kind of expect it to be a reciprocal relationship. And when that doesn't happen in our society, where that typically goes, well, that's the end of that. I'm not dealing with that anymore. We're done. That's how most people are. They expect a proper response to their love, or they're not giving. But what I want us to see is that the love of God is not like that. God's love is not, he doesn't discriminate. It is indiscriminate. The Lord doesn't say, this, you know, this person went to church this week, and so you know, I think I'm going to send rains on his field. You know, that person over there, they didn't go to church, and so you know, they're going to get the drought here this week. They're not getting any rain on the field. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 45, he makes his sun rise on the evil and good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. I mean, he is impartial in how he does that. God loves everyone whether they like it or not. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is this: are we going to live our lives as a reaction to other people, or are we going to live our lives as a reflection of our God? That's the great question. Are we going to love love like the world loves, or are we going to love like God loves? When we get to the point where our love no longer has to wait on the performance of other people, then I'll just tell you, there's an immense transformation that has taken place in us. We're not like the world in that. In fact, that this kind of love is actually liberating, because when you love like that, here's what you don't have to do anymore. You don't have to decide anymore, whom am I going to love? You don't have to keep a record of wrongs any longer when you love like that. You don't have to worry about whether or not your love is being reciprocated. And you don't have to worry about if the other person is worthy of these things. That kind of frees things up a little bit, doesn't it? It's liberating in that sense. But not only is it liberating, I'll tell you, it's powerful as well. It's actually the most powerful way to retaliate against evil. I think I've told this story before. It's a story about Abraham Lincoln. And it comes from just after the Civil War, or just shortly after. Lincoln entertained some visitors from the South, and they were upset about the way they were being treated by their northern neighbors. And they came to Washington mad. Lincoln calmed them down, and he actually befriended them. And when a northern congressman heard about all of that, he was irate with Lincoln. His thinking was, you know, these people are our enemies. We shouldn't befriend them. We ought to just destroy them. And Lincoln's words, I think, are a little more in keeping with the things we're talking about this morning. He said, if I make my enemies my friends, have I not then destroyed my enemies? What better way to do that? It's not the way the world thinks about it. It's a great question that he asked. It's one for which we can find an answer in the Bible. Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the answer. Do we believe that the Lord knew best about that? We have to learn again not to let the standards of the world control us, because we'll go in the wrong direction with that. We have to learn not to let the hostilities that come our way dictate how we're going to respond in any given situation, because again, we're going to go the wrong way with that. And so what I want us to do with the time we have remaining this morning is I want us to take just a few moments to suggest that if we truly want to start loving people like the Lord wants us to love people, then there are a couple of things that we need to start doing. And I'm just going to go ahead and give you an upfront. Neither of them are easy. First, if we are going to love like the Lord does, then we need to start speaking well of our enemies. Luke reports many of the same teachings that are found in the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know if it's the same sermon. It doesn't seem to be, because it seems to fall at a different place in the story. But one way or another, it's some of the same teaching. Sometimes he adds some things, sometimes he has a little bit less than Matthew does, but it touches on many of the same subjects. And in Luke chapter 6, that's where I get it from, Luke chapter 6 and verse 27, Jesus says, I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. And I'm not saying that what Jesus taught here is easy when he says bless those who curse you, but what I am saying is that what he taught is necessary. If we're ever going to be what he wants us to be, that is. And when someone speaks evil of us, it is so much easier for us to turn around and to speak evil of them. And that again is the standards of the society in which we live. But it's not the standards of Jesus. Instead of returning evil for evil, again, Jesus says bless those who curse you. And speak well of those who don't speak well of you. And the Lord's not asking us to do something there that he didn't do himself. He's not asking us to do something that he hasn't tried and saying, you know, this has never been done, but I want you to do it. The Apostle Peter would say of Jesus in 1 Peter 2 and verse 23, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly, or judges rightly. And so we need to follow his example. But there's a second thing we need to do, and it's already been mentioned in the things that we've read there. And that is, we need to start praying for our enemies instead. Pray for those who persecute you, Matthew 5, verse 44, or Luke 6, and verse 28, puts it in more generic terms. Pray for those who mistreat you. I'll just tell you, sometimes the only access we have to our enemies is through God. Sometimes that's the only access. And it may be that that's the only way we will ever have any hope of affecting them in some way that is positive. And yet more than that, if we pray for them, not only does it demonstrate that we have love for them, but I'll tell you something else that's going to do for us. It's going to increase our love for them. It's going to have an impact on us, on who we are. That's really about the only thing we can control. And so as we've looked at these things, the things we've been talking about this morning, that may be among the most difficult teachings that we find in the Scripture. But can you imagine how much better a place this world would be if people chose to live their lives in keeping with what Jesus said here? I believe that following the instruction of Jesus about love would make our lives as individuals more peaceful and more joyful, even if nobody else put them into practice. And that's the kind of effect this instruction of Jesus can have if we'll simply follow what he taught and be the kind of people that he wants. You know, Jesus knew what he was talking about. He told us the truth about love. But it's up to us whether or not we're going to follow it. If you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we've not really talked about that. Talked a little bit about the fact that he loved us even when we were sinners. Even when we were his enemies, he was willing to go to the cross. And he did that because he wants people to be right with him. You have that opportunity this morning if you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Simply follow him. Become a disciple of Jesus. Learn from him. He expects that from us. You have some other need that we can help you with this morning. We ask that you come as we stand and as we sing.